Okay. Good morning, everyone. So I guess I'll start this off with a little prayer to make sure put my heart in the right place. So, Father God, thank you for this time we're having together and for the opportunity to deliver a message. Please guide my tongue and have whatever is said here for your glory. And I pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I figured I'd start this off with the story about the guy with an orange forehead. Have you ever heard that story before? Okay, so it's about this guy who walks into a bar and he's got an orange forehead, and the bartender says, "Oh wow, that's crazy. What happened to you?" And he says, "Oh, it's a crazy story. I found this genie, and she said I had 3 wishes." And so it's like, okay, well, for my first wish, I'll take all the money in the world. And so she granted that, and I, you know, had a great time with all that money. But, of course, money didn't buy everything. So for my second wish, I asked for all the women that I could ever want. And so the genie granted that wish, and so I kept the company of all the women I could ever imagine. And so here I am. And the bartender is like, "Well, what about the third wish?" It's like, "Oh, yeah, for my third wish, I asked for an orange for her head." And so the, I think what that's illustrating is that the stuff that people tend to desire, if they actually get those wishes granted to them, it's they find out they were idols, and idolatry is always lies, and it never delivers. So I think that's what a lot of people we see in the news that are famous and powerful and appear to have everything that anybody could ever want, but they still somehow manage to destroy themselves and destroy their lives. Not all of them, but a good many of them. So I figured we would look at an example of someone who resisted giving in to that kind of temptation. So we're going to go to Matthew 4, chapter 4 and verse 8. So this is the temptation of Christ, or actually Satan's attempt to buy Christ. So we see in the beginning of the chapter, the devil's offering him like opportunities to use his power, like to make bread out of stone. He says, "Well, that's crazy. Men can't live off bread alone." He gets that from Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy 8:3, I think specifically. And then the second one, he takes him up and says, "Yeah, toss yourself, and surely you're going to fly because the angels will lift you up." And he talks about not tempting or testing God, putting the Lord your God to the test. But then finally, he takes him to a high point and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. So again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, here we see in verse 8, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He says, "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And then Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. So that was, I guess, the devil's best shot at getting Jesus to give in to temptation. And that's just, that's what he was offering Jesus. So I think it's pretty safe to say that that's a lot more than he's going to offer us. Because the devil, he wants to get us for cheap, right? So what I wanted to focus on was one of the proverbs that illustrates that of getting bought for cheap. And while it was written a long time ago by King Solomon, I think it's a lot more relevant today than ever for different reasons than illustrated back then. So in Proverbs 7, it's written such as like a father talking to a son. And it starts out, it's titled in my Bible, The Warning Against the Adulteress. So my son, keep my words, store my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So I think that it's safe to say that we should memorize as much scripture as possible. So spend as much time as reasonable reading the Bible and then try to memorize it, especially if you're trying to spread the word. It's useful to not have to actually flip through the Bible and show it to somebody or have to pull your phone out and say, okay, well, let me look it up on the phone. This in this verse, I know it's somewhere. Hold on, let me get my Bible Gateway. It's better if you can just tell people what it says and then say, okay, you have your Bible, you can look it up, or I've got a Bible here, you can read it, and I can recite it as you read it. Or you can look it up on your phone and you'll see that the person will see it's the same thing that you're saying, pretty much. So I think that's useful. And then in verse 4, it says, say to wisdom, you are my sister. Okay, so a sister. I'm an only child, so I've never had a brother or a sister. But I would imagine this is speaking to, like, you maybe a lot of people back then, a lot of people had older sisters, and your sister would help you, you know, direct you and give you good advice. You might say, well, I had sisters. They didn't do that. They were mean to me. But I don't know. I imagine ideally that's how it would work. And call understanding your kinsmen. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. So obviously this is illustrating a situation where a woman is taking advantage of a young man, but there's plenty of examples and nowadays and before where the opposite was happening, where men were exploiting women. So I believe what's illustrated here can go both ways. So I believe it focuses on young men because the women traditionally were gatekeepers. So that's, I think, illustrated in Ghostbusters, what they were talking about, if you ever saw that movie. When I was a kid, I watched it 100 times, and I didn't have any idea what they were talking about. I just thought those were cool names. There was a feminine demon called the Gatekeeper and a masculine demon called the Keymaster. It was like, oh. And so now that's clear. It's a lot clearer. So I won't explain it because there's young people here. But I think that's it's traditionally understood that men would give in easier. So it's up to the woman traditionally to gatekeep, so to speak. So at the window of my house, verse 6, I looked through the lattice and saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. And he was going down the street near her corner. Okay, so we still have this in modern times. We still have street corners where you shouldn't go. So if you might have some, like, because you want to spread the gospel, it's like, okay, well, I know there's this corner where some women hang out and I know they have bad intentions, but I want to go out and spread the gospel. Probably not the best thing. Maybe send your wife or send your mom or send one of your sisters in Christ to go do that kind of thing. Because it's probably not a good idea for a young man to do that. But so we still have this, but I think it's more of a ubiquitous thing. And with the internet and with these glowing boxes that we stay glued to, or at least a lot of people stay glued to. I would say the majority of the overwhelming majority of the population stays glued to these glowing boxes, whether they be tablets, phones, screens. I meant to bring mine and put it out here, but I think I left it in my chair over there. But so I think that is the street corner of the 21st century, because while there's a lot of wonderful things you can do with the new modern technology, it is most certainly a portal to hell. So men and women are a lot more vulnerable, and there's a lot of adulteresses, so to speak, actually targeting young men, probably older men as well. And I won't go into too much detail of what's on there, because we want to keep it clean. But it's a lot of illicit unions, like a lot of stimulating sounds, images that are just designed to capture you. And in the proverb, we see that the adulteress uses seductive words, and that's one of the things about modern technology, is that the novelty of the seduction, it scaffolds. So whereas one thing may have seduced before, then maybe you want to find something weirder or more strange. So I definitely think that is relevant. And another thing about the young man is it's apparent that he's walking, going down the street near this woman's corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. So it illustrates someone who's not necessarily looking for sin, right? Not looking for temptation. But he's not actively trying to avoid it, you see. So same thing can happen if you're on your phone scrolling and like, well, I'm not trying to find anything. I'm in a good place right now. So I guess I'll just scroll through, read the news and stuff, but then something pops up. And then quickly, it could lead you down a rabbit hole. So, and I think they've designed it that way to trap you. Okay, so how do you avoid that? Well, I mentioned Matthew 4:8. There's another verse in the Bible that's a 4:8 in Philippians. And we could take a look at what that says. Philippians 4:8. There's a whole study, like a whole book written on Philippians 4:8. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received, but just meditate, think about these things, pray about these things is where it finishes in verse 8. So I think that's one of the ways that you avoid temptation, you avoid falling into these situations. Right, so we continue on, going down near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At the twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home, now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have my fellowship offerings at home. Today I have fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet you. So you notice there, she's using religion to justify her actions. She says, okay, you know what? I did my time. And so now, you know, it's kind of like a, let's go to Mardi Gras now. So like you're going to purge all your sinful desires after doing some penance or time off for good behavior, something to that effect. And you don't just see this, you know, you see this with men as well. Like some of the leaders who are world famous in the Christian, like Christian apologetics, we see the stuff comes out about them, about these people I looked up to. I was like, man, this person is awesome. And I just love their stuff. But then, you know, you get this thing that comes out and it's like, and like, oh yeah, well, I'm so exhausted from taking care of the sheep and helping God, you know, spreading the word. But so I deserve this. But it doesn't work that way. But so you don't only see that with women, but you see it with a lot of men too. So she says that, I fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till the morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Okay. And so that's clear seduction, okay, describing the stuff in the house, in the bed and everything. That's a clear attempt at seducing the young man. And then saying that my husband is not at home kind of implies, look, we're going to be able to do this, and nobody's going to know about it, okay? So any sin, large or small, you might think, you know what, I can just do this and just keep it in the dark, okay? And the way to defeat sin, you bring it out to the light. That's what confession, I think, is all about, bringing it into the light, because whenever you turn the light on, and, you know, the sunlight's the best medicine sometimes. That's why a lot of times sin is associated with bugs in some movies. Like if you see like demons and things, you'll see the presence of insects. Like if you turn on a light, like the roaches will run to the dark. Like so you don't want to roach your sins. You want to bring them out into the light. You don't want to keep them hidden. But that's one of the lies is, yeah, nobody's going to know. I can give in. Nobody will find out. And same thing, like it seems like when you're on the web and you're not involving anybody directly, you're just looking at stuff on the internet, listening to stuff on the internet, and no one's ever going to find out, okay? But that's a lie because somebody's always watching, you know, God's always watching for one thing. But there are people who are monetizing whatever you're doing there and figuring out your behaviors. And it's very difficult to hide that. But maybe from your friends and family, you might be able to hide it for a time. But that's how she's trying to get him, is saying, yeah, nobody's going to find out because my husband's gone. I'm alone. So he took his purse filled with money and will not be home till the full moon. So again, we're not going to get caught. We're going to be able to do this and there's not going to be any consequences. So with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her. So again, that's what is being done on the internet, all these things, no matter, even if it's not specifically an area of the net that's doing that, it's omnipresent, like in advertisements and a lot of our shows that we seem to watch that seem to be harmless. They'll sneak that stuff in there. So like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Okay, and so that's important because while it doesn't seem like if you initially give into temptation that you're giving your life up, one of the things you're losing is you're losing your time, okay? Whether you're a man or a woman, whatever side, you are losing your time. And they have that saying, time loss can never be found again. So you're losing that. Also, these kinds of experiences can really mess with your mind and eventually affect your ability to carry on a relationship, have a stable family. So if you destroy your family, I mean, that is one form of death. You are dying if you lose your family. Part of you is, at least. So that is extremely relevant, okay? So losing time, losing family, maybe you lose your career. We see a lot of that as well. But you might even end up in a situation where you go to jail as well. So many are the victims that she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Okay, so I think that's probably hell's implied in there as well. But this proverb, I think, is one of the most important ones in the Bible as it applies to today. And mainly, like, I know there's plenty of situations, there's plenty that we can talk about where people physically give into temptation directly with other people, but I'm speaking of what the advent of the internet and technology, all the people out there, men and women, trying to trap you and destroy you because they want to make a buck. And our leaders are doing a horrible job at protecting us, protecting young men, children. They're doing a horrible job. So it's like, you know, are we legally allowed to protect people from this? Because it's like a form of art. It's like, so you can either look at the portal to hell or you can go to the UT Blanton Museum of Art. It's the same thing. What's the difference? Yeah, that's obviously ridiculous. So so I just think we should pray about this, and we should definitely actively pursue ways as a congregation to protect our children from this, whether, you know, you just delay giving, if you're a parent, delay giving your children these devices. If you're an adult, especially if you're getting married, you need to have some way to be accountable for what you're doing with your technology. So one thing is, I don't own personally any computers. So like any laptops, that like one's owned by the church, the other one's owned by the college, and so I know that if those machines are looked at in detail, anything I've done on there is going to be exposed. So things like that, and then if you've got personal devices you own, try to find some way to be accountable to someone So there's different tools you can use for that. But definitely, delay as long as possible giving things to your children that give them access to social media or to the internet in general, because there are a lot of predators out there who are trying to destroy lives. And behind all of it is Satan, as we saw in Matthew 4:8, as he tried to tempt Jesus, but he's not really going to offer that to us. He's going to try to get us for cheap. And that's really all I wanted to say in this message. This is, again, what has really spoken to me. This is one of the proverbs I visit most often. And so we'll say a prayer and then have an invitation. And sorry if it was too short, but it's my first time through. Maybe if I get another opportunity, I'll try better next time. All right. Father God, thank you for this this time to try to speak for you and deliver an important message, to spread your message of salvation and help us to put this into practice, whether we be men or women. There's things that are relevant to both, and we pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Thank you for his sacrifice. Amen.